Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Today we are reminded that we need the Lord. And I'm pretty sure that's why you're here, because you recognize that too. We need Him, we need His Word, we need to talk to Him in our prayers. Today we have a good opportunity to examine how we do that. It is fitting and right for us to go to God at all times for all things, but do we always take the right attitude? And are we always ready to hear Him talk to us? And are we always ready to grab on to His answers? Or are we more ready to tell Him how it should be and then get a little worried and upset when it doesn't end up being the way that we think it should be? So today we'll go revisit Abraham, and we'll see how God equipped him and strengthened his trust in the Lord. And then Abraham was able to talk with Him and have a strong relationship with the Lord. And it is my prayer and confidence that God will send you home closer to God today, more ready to talk to Him, and more importantly, more ready to listen to Him. So may God so bless us along those lines as we worship today. We open with our opening hymn, hymn 229. Let us worship the Lord. Stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. for all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Genesis chapter 15. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today, so we'll have a little bit more background during that time, especially an explanation of the words after this, which is how the lesson starts. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 33 on page 7 in the worship booklet. We will sing the psalm responsively by half verse, by the full verse.
Behold this, O Lord, the goodness of God, the goodness of God.
It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Heavens made their starry host by the breath of his mouth.
For he spoke and it came to be, even heaven and its earth.
The earth is full of the goodness of God, the goodness of God. Towards the purposes of the peoples. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The second lesson is recorded in Revelation chapter 3. In this section of the book, Jesus is writing letters to the different pastors of the different churches, and he has a message to each one of them. Here, Jesus is reaching out to his people. He is begging them to come back to him. He is begging them to repent. He is begging them to come back so that he can hold on to them, keep their names written in the book of life, and take them home to heaven. It has application for our congregation. It has application for you, application for me. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12. In this lesson, Jesus encourages us to live our faith and to find satisfaction and comfort in doing so. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we join together to sing the hymn of the day, number 472.
him who lived and died for you, so that he can proudly acknowledge you before his Father and all his holy angels. In the name of Jesus. You've probably gotten those directions before, directions out to the middle of nowhere. And the person who's given you these directions gets the idea from the look in your eye that he has no idea what he's talking about. And then he stops and he says, "Trust me. It'll all make sense. You'll see when you get there." Or maybe you've put in the address into your navigation system and you get the warning, in a half mile you need to merge left so that you can exit right. And in your mind you're thinking, this just isn't right. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't look right. You know what you should do, but you don't want to do it. You know you should listen, but you think you know better. And so you don't follow the directions. And you don't listen to Siri. And then you spend the next half hour, you're going from this gas station to that gas station. You're stopping this person and that person because you are so lost. Or it's the next most annoying 3 minutes of your whole trip as Siri is telling you, recalculating, and she's telling you, make a U-turn, make a U-turn, make a U-turn. And driving direction headaches are annoying. They're no good. Not the end of the world. But what is it like when we do that same thing to God? When God very clearly tells us something and he invites us to talk to him and then he talks to us in his word and then we doubt him and we don't listen to him and we hear him and we look at what he says with suspicious eyes as if, I don't know, God. We want to have trusting hearts, but we just can't. Today, as we take a look at Abraham, it gives us an opportunity not so much to examine Abraham, but to examine what's going on in here. Especially those times when we feel the need, the desire, and we all do, to talk to God because something big or something small, something happy, something sad is happening in our lives and we want to talk to God. It gives us a chance to review how we do that, though. Do we do that with trusting hearts? Or do we do that with suspicious eyes? The first lesson for this morning that my sermon is based on, it starts with the words, after this. So here's a very, very brief history of Abram. Abram had everything in the world going for him. We would say born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His daddy was filthy rich. He had a lot of flocks, a lot of herds. He had a lot of possessions. And all of it was Abram's. The guy really didn't have a care in the world until one day God said, "Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you." So Abram said, "Okay." And then even after he got to the place and there were people living in the land, and God said, "Abram, I'm going to give you this land, and your children are going to live in this land." Even though that never should have happened, he had no children, the land wasn't his, people in the land, Abram said, "Okay." And then there came a time right before chapter 15 that Abram went to fight four kings. Abram didn't have an army. He had just over 300 men. And God said, "Go out and fight him." And Abram said, "Okay." And Abram routed these four kings. And they wanted to give him the plunder. And Abram wouldn't take any of it because he didn't want any credit for anything. He wanted the Lord to get the credit for doing all of this. And God reminded Abram, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." He didn't need an army. "I am your great reward." God promised to be there for Abram. God promised to protect him. God promised to, yes, take care of him in this life, to give him money, to give him possessions, to give him wealth, but also to be his God forever. "Okay," Abram said, but Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Now, was it wrong for Abraham to go to God and say, "I want to talk to you about this, God"? Absolutely not. Doesn't God want us to go to him and talk to him. Maybe especially when things don't make sense and you're wondering, well, how can this ever be? And, you know, maybe God, did you get this wrong? You know, help me understand what's going on here. Of course it wasn't wrong. But it gives us a chance to evaluate what he said and to evaluate how we think. Or what about the people in the gospel for today? Did you hear what Jesus said to them? Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's giving them some pretty specific instructions. He's saying, trust me enough to sell your stuff, to take the money and give it to the poor. He says, don't be afraid to take some of your wealth and use it for church work. Give it to charity, to provide for people who don't have as much as you do. And can't you just hear their questions? Well, wait a minute. I don't know if I can do that right now. Because if I take my time and my energy and I work for you to store up treasures in heaven, what's going to happen to me now? You know, this pay period's a little tight. This month is a little tricky. This has not been a very good year. You know, the Romans are ruining everything, so the global market's a little upset right now. What's going to happen if I give you some of my money and I give the church more of my time? You can hear the questions that they have, but Jesus says, don't be afraid.
Back to Abram. Listen to how verses 3 and 4 in the King James, they add a little word, and it's okay that the NIV didn't put it in there, but I think it's fascinating to hear it in the NIV because they throw that word out there. Because Abram's taking everything in that God says, and then he says, well, behold, because wait a minute. So here's verse 3 in the King James, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. Basically, he's saying, I see a problem with your promise. I see an issue, something that we need to talk about and we need to work about. And he says, behold, kind of as if God hasn't thought that through, as if maybe that wasn't on God's radar, that yes, this is a problem. And then listen to how the Lord responds. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Here's the Lord's little confirmation and instruction to Abram. Abram, I have everything under control. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So what's the big deal? I mean, it's really hard to find something out of line either in the gospel or in this first lesson for today, isn't it? Because isn't this just people being people? Where you have an issue and, okay, maybe some days, yes, I'm good, I'm with Jesus, I get it, I understand, and sometimes I'm not. That's what Abram did. Or the people in the gospel, sometimes, yes, they did this, sometimes they didn't, and who cares? It's just people being people. Well, it becomes a big deal when we cross that line between, I'm just having a conversation with God, and I'm having a trusting heart. And we cross the line to where we start looking at God's promises with suspicious eyes. And we hear promises and we see only problems. And then we start to throw out our own, behold, Lords. As if somehow being in this little flock, you're not safe there and you're not satisfied there and everything isn't okay there. And so, behold, Lord, I have found another flock to walk with for a little while. A flock that doesn't ask me to give you some of my possessions, doesn't ask me to give you my stuff, and does let me walk where I want to, and does let me have the attitude that I want to have. Because your promise, I'm struggling with them right now. I'm not seeing it right now. It becomes a big deal when we hear these words. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you.
You know, while you and I are often, we are beholding to God. You know, behold, God, I have a plan. Behold, God, I have a problem you're not thinking about. Behold, God, have you looked at it this way? Satan is sitting back saying, this is awesome. These guys are making my job so easy. Do you like how Satan didn't have to say a word to Abram? Satan didn't have to say a word to these people as they were listening to Jesus talk to them. Satan says, they just listen to God's promises and they say, whoa, wait a minute, God. I can't do that for you right now. This isn't working for me right now. They hear his promise and they see only problems. I mean, this is great. This is easy. They wander from the flock right to me. And that's when it crosses a line, doesn't it? From, well, I'm just being human, I'm just talking to God, to I am destroying my relationship with God. I am walking away from Jesus. So if you've ever crossed that line, and again, it's tough to say if Abram did, isn't it? I mean, he was just talking to God. He said, here's a problem. So the point this morning really isn't, well, let's figure out if he was doubting or if he was trusting, if he had suspicious eyes or a trusting heart. Instead, let's apply it to what we see in here and how we talk to God. And if there are times that we have talked with God and we looked at him with suspicious eyes and we see only problems instead of promises, that's something we need to work on. Or if God is telling us, here's what I want you to be doing until I come back, and we're not, because we have every excuse in the world, that's something we need to work on. Because if Jesus comes back like a thief and we're wandering around with Satan or we're not in his flock, we found a new flock, we're going to have a problem. And so we look to this lesson, you know, how can we fix this? How can we fix our suspicious eyes? How can we fix our doubts? How can we fix those things that mar our relationship with God and mar our record with God and prevent us from going to heaven someday? And we look at this lesson and we see we can't fix it. God doesn't even tell us to fix it. Instead, we see how God came to Abraham and God fixed it. God strengthened Abraham. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. The Lord took Abram outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. The key words, and at least in my opinion, are then the word of the Lord came to him. You know, Abram didn't have the written word like we do today. He had a pretty neat relationship with God. God actually came to him, and God talked to him. But nonetheless, it was still the word of the Lord came to him. And God told him literally, he said, Abram, go take a census of the stars. If you can count them, go count them and come back and tell me. Well, obviously, Abram can't count the stars. But God can. God did. God made the stars. He knows exactly how many stars there are. And he said, Abram, I am God Almighty who made the stars. I am God Almighty and I'm with you. I am God Almighty and you are going to have a child. And your descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars. And after all of that, it doesn't say that Abram went and fixed his problems. Abram went and he saw his son Isaac, who wasn't going to be around for a long time. God gave him all these concrete physical examples and all this concrete proof of his promises. That's not how it went. We're told Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. It's comforting to know that we don't have to have things all figured out. We don't have to see the end result of trusting in the Lord. God comes to us in his word, and he tells us everything is going to be okay. He tells us, I know how many stars there are. I made them. I took care of Abram. I'm going to take care of you. I sent Jesus just like I promised Abram. I'm going to take care of you. And so that's where we take all of our, behold, Lord. That's where we take all that. And that's where we take all the guilt from the time that we found a different little flock because we're not comfortable in Jesus' little flock, or we're not sure that he loves us or that he cares for us. That's where we take the behold, Lord, because we hear his promise and see only problems. We take it to God, who says he's done something about it. You know, it's really hard, isn't it, to grab onto these promises when God says, trust me, it's going to be okay. I think personally, especially in the area of forgiveness, because we know what it sounds like to God when we say, behold, Lord, you're not thinking about this. I have a better idea. Or look what I've done over here, Lord. It's hard to throw that at Jesus' feet and to really trust that God could really love us. But he does. Because Jesus really came, just like God promised Abraham, just like God has promised you and me. And we have full forgiveness for every time we have said, behold, Lord, I'm smarter than you. And he comes back to us and he says, behold, look what I've done for you. Behold, look at how much Jesus loves you. He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It seems too simple, doesn't it? Because your problems are so big, and sometimes our guilt is so heavy. But it is that simple. If you have ears, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to him talk to you in his word. Listen to his promises over and over and over again. The God who knows how many stars there are, he takes time to remember you and to know you. And Jesus loves you. So yes, God wants to hear about it, especially when you're confused and when you're upset and when it seems like it's never going to work out. That's when we go and we hear the word of the Lord. And God will build up our strength. And God will give us faith. And God will credit it to us as righteousness. Our Savior Jesus' righteousness. May God build you up in his promises so that you can go to him with confident, trusting hearts. Amen. Please stand. We take an opportunity to confess the faith that our Savior God has worked and confirmed in our hearts. We do so by confessing with the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we gather our offerings this morning.
Thank you.
In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember Emily Cast. We prayed for her last week before her surgery, and she is recuperating and recovering from open heart surgery. We will remember her. We remember, again, the family of Norma Berg, whose memorial was yesterday. We ask God's continuing comfort, as well as the family of Bob Snyder, whose son, Bob Jr., passed away this last week. And then we've also been asked to remember our sister, LaVon Casey, in our prayers as she is struggling with some health issues. She was hospitalized for pneumonia, but she's back home recovering, so we remember her also. With those brothers and sisters in mind, let us pray. O Lord God, we praise you for the glorious gospel of your grace. You sent your Son to die for our sins and rise again on the third day, that we, through him, might and will be saved. Grant that we may ever repent most earnestly of our sinfulness, turn to you for forgiveness, and be cleansed of all iniquity. Give us true humility of spirit, and that we be neither barren nor unfruitful in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts and kindle them with the fire of your love. We ask that you bestow the Holy Spirit upon your church, that we may go forth into all the world, bearing your precious gospel and preaching Jesus Christ among all nations for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. We also ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon our homes. Pour out your blessings. Lead all parents to train up their children to know, love, and to fear you, that all may live together in peace, kindness, and understanding now and forever with you in heaven. We ask that you hear the prayers of the afflicted among us, the sorrowful and those who mourn, the needy and the homeless, the wounded and all who are in pain, the anxious and the despairing, and lead them by your mercy out of all their adversities. So we ask that you continue to be with the family of Norma Berg and to be with the family of Bob Snyder Jr. We thank you for the victory that you won for them, the confidence that they now stand with you. But we also understand that it is difficult to say goodbye to our loved ones. And so we ask that in the meantime that you give them confidence in you and your promise to comfort them and to console them. We thank you that you saw Emily through her surgery. We ask that you continue to bless her with physical strength. We ask that you would be with her parents and her family as they too find confidence in you, that your almighty hand guides all things. Please continue to strengthen Emily. And also strengthen our sister, LaVon Casey. We ask that you would strengthen her lungs, that you would bless the treatment that she is receiving, and that you too would keep her in your care. We thank you that you brought her home safely from the hospital and ask your continuing blessing upon her. These and all other things necessary for us, we ask that you would grant by the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, the bright morning star of our salvation. Amen. Our worship continues on page 12 with our preparation for the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, so to
do. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
You. blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
turn to page 15 and join together in the song, Thank the Lord. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Good morning again. It was nice being in the house of the Lord with you. Welcome to our worship guests. We're pleased that we are able to share the love and confidence of Jesus with you. And I pray that God sends you home confident to approach him with anything, and the confidence of knowing that he's on top of it, and that's a good thing. May God give you that trust and confidence in the week ahead. In addition to all the important announcements that are in the announcement flyer, please take one on your way home. I've been asked to highlight the campus cleanup workday, and that is going to be Saturday, August 13th. We're getting ready for school, so it's a good opportunity to spruce up our school campus and our entire campus. If you can help out with that, please see Mr. Bauer directly, or you can see the sign-up sheet that's on the school in the school bulletin board area, or you can email Mr. Bauer. His email address is printed in the weekly news. So take a look at that, and please come and help out. It's a good time working together, and then things will look great, and we'll be all tidied up for the school year. Please do visit with one another, greet one another before you exit, and then I will greet you one more time out in the lobby.